Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan and welcome to Consider This. My guest today is Dr. Dr. Badrul Hisham Kassim, Chief Executive of the Iskander Regional Development Authority, IRDA, here in Johor. Thank you so much, Dr. Badrul, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Johor is a very important state. It's, in fact, my home state. It also is part of this really interesting cross-border dynamic economically with Singapore. But it's a state that has suffered quite considerably because of the pandemic. Today, I hope you could help us understand IRDA's role in terms of the recovery efforts. But before we get to that, could you help us understand a little bit about IRDA's history and its objectives?
Yes. Thank you for having me. IRDA, we started in 2006. I'm new here in Iskander Regional Development Authority, but we started way back in 2006, so it's about 15, 16 years now. The idea was to create this economic region in the southern of Johor, the southern of the country, to make full use of the advantage of that we have here. And to a certain extent, it worked. And we also incorporate the linkage between federal government, state government, and also the local authorities. We have five local authorities, and within three districts. Iskandar Malaysia consists of Johor Bahru, Kulai, and also part of Pontian. And within that, there are three local authorities of city status: Majlis Bandaraya Johor Bahru, Majlis Bandaraya Iskandar Puteri, and Majlis Bandaraya Pasir Gudang, and two Majlis Perbandaran, which is Kulai and also Pontian. What is unique about us is probably, I would say, is that first that we are co-chaired by both Prime Minister and the Menteri Besar. So we are, in a way, a bit of a hybrid organisation. It is a federal body, but with the chairmanship of both PM and MB. That way, I think we managed to be a closer linkage, I suppose, between the federal government, state government, and local authority in making that decision. So for the past 15 to 16 years, I think we've done quite a good job, I suppose, to make sure that whatever functions that these three level of government are doing, we make full use of it and we take advantage of the area in order to bring in investments or to make it a good place to live and so on.
Right. So big topics, livability.
Yes.
As an investment destination. And, you know, one of the things that bedevils a lot of Malaysian governance is different authorities working in silos. So a coordinating body, I think, is what is the basic narrative here, right? But and we have this wonderful map, actually, of the areas under IRDA. And I wanted, in fact, this interview to be situated here because I think we need a sense of the geography of this. What's sort of hidden, of course, is Singapore in this. And perhaps, you know, casting my mind back to about 30 years ago, Batam. So there was this whole idea that there were synergies between Johor, Singapore, and Batam, Indonesia, that could create some sort of economic dynamic. Is that still in play? Is that narrative of a sort of synergies, geographic synergies, still important?
I believe it still is. As you can see, the relationship between Malaysia and Singapore has always been great in terms of trade that we do. And it's even more pronounced if you're here in Johor. You can see how close we are between Malaysia, between Johor and Singapore. And you see that not just in business terms, but even in family terms, you know, the relationships that you have between the two countries. The same way with Indonesia as well. So I suppose in Johor, we have both the Singapore consulates and then the Indonesian consulate. So again, that reiterates how important these two countries are to us. And for us in Johor, more importantly, is the surrounding area, the Riau, the Kepulauan Riau, and how it relates to the development in Singapore, Johor, as well as in Riau and Kepulauan Riau itself. So it's quite obvious.
I do want to ask you, though, you know, because when we talk about government and governance and authorities, sometimes the public is left out. And I think when we talk about development, to what extent is IRDA committed to bringing in that other stakeholder, the citizen, whose, I guess, welfare is the objective at the end of the day, right? Improving the welfare of the rakyat. Is that something that is factored into the way IRDA operates?
Oh, yes, definitely. When we first started, I think we've got quite a lot of criticism, I suppose, many years ago, when people see people equate the development of fiscal anomaly Malaysia with property development and how you've got the high-end properties coming in, expensive schools coming in, international schools and so on, which to the local population, they're saying that there's nothing for them. But in reality, what we were doing at that time was to attract the right investment into Johor and into Iskandar Malaysia in particular, to make sure that we have the catalytic development. So at that time, you started seeing the new development. If you look at the map, the one towards the west where Medini is, that's the new area of development. So much so at that time, when people talk about Iskandar Malaysia, some of them mistaken Iskandar Malaysia for Medini or for Iskandar Putri. That's the greenfield, that's the new development. But Iskandar Malaysia covers a lot more than that. By bringing in all those investments, yes, we bring in the expensive schools, we bring in the expensive houses, but at the same time, we make sure that we bring in the talents as well. I think we're not talking about, for one thing, trying to bring in foreign investment, but at one time, even bringing in people from KL to JB is difficult. People wouldn't want to, if you're working in KL, you wouldn't want to come to JB and work here unless you're Johorian and you need to, you know, take care of your parents or that sort of thing. So I find that as we go along, we started having this kind of attention given to the locals in a way that enhanced the livability. There's more training for the right kind of jobs, which were not offered before. Grants given by the federal government as well as the state government for businesses, for school leavers. So those are we try to upgrade the kind of work that they can do based on the qualification and the experience that they have. So, of course.
I do want to ask you this. You know, so there's good things that are said about some of the educational institutions that have been set up, and even on the medical side too. They've been.
That's right.
But where the story gets a little bit cloudy is on the real estate, yeah. Because Forest City and some of this other developments seem to be very vulnerable to global issues. China's capital controls were one of them. So even before COVID came, there were these concerns. How do you negotiate that? You want a globalized economy. You want to be open to trade. You want to be open to talent from around the world to, as you say, as a catalyst. But then you're also buffeted by these changes, pandemic, and now we have a war in Europe. How does this kind of think about those larger things that impact the plans that you have?
Well, if you're talking about the pandemic or the war that's happening around the world, that affects everybody. It doesn't just affect Iskandar Malaysia or Johor or Malaysia for that matter. We learned quite a lot during COVID and how we address the issues, the problems, the supply chain issues that that the manufacturers are facing. I think we go along with that. Of course, with the pandemic, the impact to Johor and to Iskandar Malaysia probably is a lot worse than everybody else. That is why I think we need to address the issues in Iskandar Malaysia differently. For example, if you're talking about investment coming into Iskandar Malaysia, probably they come in because of the incentives that we are giving for Medini, for example. But there's also a percentage of the decision to invest in Iskandar Malaysia is because of our location with Singapore. So we need to address when we're facing COVID to make sure that we are able to continue our business, what we are doing in Skandar Malaysia, despite having those issues with COVID. So, you know, I suppose we try to resolve the issues. What we're saying is that it's not one formula that we use for the whole country, but rather a specific solution we must have that for Skandar Malaysia.
How nimble is IRDA in wanting to change course or to pivot when there's a need to, or something dramatic happens? Are you empowered? And what exactly can you change about plans or laws or whatever it is that is necessary to keep the region attractive to investors, to workers, especially the talent, yeah, and so on?
We're not exactly changing course 360 degrees, but what we're doing is to see the promoted sectors that we've been promoting for the past 10, 15 years continue that way, or whether there's changes that we need to do along the way. Mm-hmm. And as we do that, as I said, as an organization which is quite a hybrid, the link between us and the federal government and the state government, as well as federal authority, the local authorities, are quite close, and we are able to see what incentive we need from the federal government, what incentive we need from the state government, and what kind of facilitation are necessary from the local authorities to make sure that the investors are happy, not just investors coming in, but also investors who are already here. We've been facing quite a lot of issues, especially throughout COVID. Right. So this is what we're doing, to go to the relevant authorities that do have the power to make sure that we are totally aligned with everybody else.
Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutin. I'm here at the IRDA office, the Iskandar Regional Development Authority office in Johor, and my guest today is Dr. Badrul Hisham Kasim, is Chief Executive of IRDA. We've been talking about some of the challenges, but we're going to get a little more granular in this half about recovery, because I think that's the buzzword. Everybody's trying to imagine what recovery might look like. Could you help us understand some of the baseline facts about Johor, about Iskandar region, especially in terms of the people here and the talent, what the potential, right? So there's some talk that the profile of workers for Johor as a whole, and maybe it's slightly different for Iskandar, but it's 25% skilled workers, about 60% semi-skilled workers. With that kind of profile, what kinds of industries can be attracted? What kind of industries do you imagine are going to be here the next 20 years, for instance? You know, that other buzzword, future-proofing work for Malaysians. How do you see these particular things operating under your remit?
Well, that's quite a big question. We've always been having issues with talents. That's not something that we deny. And for Johor, we have the benefits as well as the disadvantage of being close to Singapore, to be honest. I mean, like I said earlier, some of the decision to invest in Johor is also based on the fact that we're close to Singapore. And at the same time, we also face the brain drain going to the other side, and also to other countries as well. So when the economy is good, sometimes you see that businesses in Johor is much easier to just go with the flow and just open a factory, I suppose, without thinking of the level of technical expertise that's required and so on. So this is what we're trying to improve in Skandar Malaysia, to make sure that what the kind of investment that we're getting is the one that will bring in the higher income to the people. And that's what we've been doing for the past 15 years.
Right, so higher value added jobs. But it's a tough game. We're racing not just against ourselves, as we Malaysians often do. We're racing against Indonesia, that's really coming up in a big way. Mm-hmm. So for you, you know, how realistic should we be? We want to pick and choose the right investment. We don't want to just be, you know, it's not a race to the bottom, as it were. That's not the race we want to get into. But do we have a choice?
To me, it is no longer the time when we promote our region or our country as a cheap place to invest, because sometimes that's no longer in the high in the list of requirement. So it is important that we, for the government, faster approval is important. Some people are even willing to pay more if the approval is faster, I suppose. So the same with talents as well. What's challenging at the moment, and what we've been facing for so many years, is to make sure that we have the right talents for the right industry. And what we've been doing in Skandar Malaysia also for the past 15 years is to make sure that we want to bring in a certain industry, not necessarily manufacturing, that's been traditional in Johor, but in the service sector, for example, in creative industry, we train at the same time to make sure that these people can go into that industry.
Right. This creative industry, because one of the hardest hit sectors, a lot of the service sector, I would think of tourism and F&B and hotels, have all suffered badly. What is the lesson from COVID? You know, is it, do we use the same old models, or do we have to discard them and use different models? What's your thinking about the core lessons of the pandemic?
Of course, the wish is that we are going back to normal and everything was like what it was before. But chances of that happening 100% is probably not 100%. It's not going to be 100%. So what we learned in Johor especially is that some business is relying on the local community. Some are totally relying on tourists or people from Singapore coming in. Not just in tourism industry, but also in retail and in other business as well. So I think for the past 2 years, we've learned to hedge, I suppose, to make sure that we don't rely totally on a certain market or certain customers. But at the same time, I think for Johor as well as for Malaysia, I think some industry will always be impacted if there is COVID and if there is a restriction on the border restriction and things like that. If people do not come for Johor, which is a border, Iskandar Malaysia is next to Singapore, we still need that commuting, I suppose. And that's what we've been doing, the RTS, the rail transit link between Singapore and Johor. And then we're also developing the local rapid transit as well. All this, what we hope is we are able to enhance the livability in the area and also the activities and the business, whether we as standalone as Skandar Malaysia or with neighbouring states and country around us.
What are the growth areas do you think or that IRDA is kind of focusing on for the next 20 years?
We've always been big on manufacturing. It's just a matter of how do we evolve from the current manufacturing to the subsectors that we feel is right. At the moment, I think during COVID, we always see that interest in manufacturing on medical devices and so on. But at the same time, I also feel that we've been promoting education and tourism, and this will continue to happen, and the subsectors will continue to be developed. And for Iskandar Malaysia, currently we are looking at the modern farming as well. If you look at for Johor, for example, during COVID, our GDP growth for agriculture is positive, while the rest are all negative. A few sub-sectors, for example, logistics, is also positive, but that's throughout the whole country. But for Johor specifically, agriculture was performing reasonably well during COVID. And we find that for Iskandar Malaysia, even though it's not really associated with agriculture, there's a lot of food production or food processing being done in Iskandar Malaysia, and we will continue with that and enhance that with the support from the rest of the state.
I want to ask you about this. This is another buzzword, IR 4.0. And, you know, the question that people put, like, if you're going to go up the value chain, you're going to have to adopt high technology, even in, say, the agricultural sector. We can't go back to traditional farming, right? So, is that infrastructure in place in Johor, in Iskandar? Levels of house, you know, your G4 and whatever it is, speeds, are they up to? Is governance, is there enough digitalization? Or, I mean, I know there's an aspiration that Malaysians don't lack aspirations, but the delivery on, you know, high performance governance through digitalization, is that happening at all? I mean, what's the state of play for that?
There are two parts here. One is for the role of the government. I think the government is doing quite a lot on digitalization and also to bring high-speed broadband and so on. I think there's a lot that has been done and that's continued to be done. There's a lot of demand from the older industries, older industrial estates, where there was no broadband. This we continue to develop to make sure that we are able to fit the requirement for the industry. On the other hand, I think the willingness for the industry itself to upgrade, I think what we see under COVID is probably a push for people, for the industry, to not rely too much on foreign labour or on mass labour for their production. So hopefully with this two going together, we will be able to achieve that.
You know, nobody wants to talk about the laggards. Nobody wants to talk about people who don't want to change, but we know that's true. We know that's true in the SME sector. There are ways of operating and practices that, you know, that are resistant to change. What is IRDA's role, as a kind of final question for you, in sort of enthusing businesses and industry players and even government to kind of step up the game? Because, you know, in many ways, Singapore, for some, is setting the pace, right? Singapore's galloping development is going to bring some people with it. But for the rest of the state and for other stakeholders, where is that impetus to change going to come from?
I think I've spoken earlier about our relationship with the federal government, state government, and local authority. I think our relationship is there to make sure that whatever our aspiration is, we are able to share that with the different levels of government. For the industry too, I think because of our organizations, the nature of our organizations, our relationship with the, for example, the Chambers of Commerce, and also the business community is also quite close. And I'm proud to say that we know we are able to speak the same language in most of the time, and we know the need and also what the grouses are. And these are the things that we bring to the relevant authorities to make sure that we are able to respond to those requirements. One example, during COVID, when we first started with the travel restriction, was the where we find that stopping the production of one of industry that we feel is not necessary during COVID may affect a lot of other industry as well. So the supply chain is there. So those are the things that we learned for the past 2 years, and those are the things that we need to improve as we go along.
Right. Thank you so much for this very enlightening discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Dr. Badrul Hisham Kasim. He is the chief executive of the Iskander Regional Development Authority here in Johor. That's all we have for Consider This tonight. I'm Sharad Patton, only on Astro One. We'll be right back.